Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
So if you're doing the work God's called you to in the place that you are, and I'm doing the work God's called me to in the place that I am, then we know that His Word is going out into all areas of life.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
How wonderful it is to know that He will keep us safe till the storm passes by. But you know, sometimes as Christians, living out our faith, sharing our faith with others, letting the light of Christ shine, sometimes it feels that we go from storm to storm to storm to storm. But isn't it a wonderful feeling to know that God keeps us through it all, regardless of what may come against us? God keeps us and He sustains us, even in those times where we feel we have no energy to continue. So many times, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I'm so grateful for that, to know that even when I feel that I don't have enough strength to put the next step in front of me, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I'm thankful for that. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. Letting the light of Christ shine through your life. But I want you to understand that that's not always easy. Sometimes we sort of romanticize that and we think, oh, all the great things I can do for God and for Christ Jesus and for His kingdom. But you know, there's a price that goes along with that, and it's not always easy. And I think the hardest part is sometimes you're going to find the most persecution and the most getting beat up, if you will, not always by the unredeemed folks, but those who profess to be redeemed. Sometimes it seems like we get a lot of flack sometimes from maybe not people in our church, but from other churches. What do you mean you say it that way? Or what do you mean you do it that way? Don't you know you're supposed to do it this way? And, oh, you can't be a Christian because you can't be what you profess because whatever. I don't know, and we're not going to poll the room, and please don't put up your hands, but I wonder, just think, have you ever had times like that in being the light of Christ in the world, that you'd have someone, especially someone from the body of Christ somewhere in the greater community, say, oh no, you know, that you're not doing the work of Christ, you're doing your own work, you're doing your own thing. I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me. Years and years ago, early in our ministry, we had a radio ministry, and I can't tell you how many people beat me up over that, saying things like, oh, it's just a money-making scheme. Well, one, we were buying time on a commercial station. It was a money pit, not a money-making venture. But the gospel was going out. The good news was going out. It wasn't about making money on this top 40 station. It was about sending out the light of Christ, letting others know the truth of God. Another way that we often got beat up was, well, you should be on the Christian station. Why in the world would you have a Christian program on the top 40, a classic top 40 station? Well, one reason, the Christian station doesn't sell time in our particular area at that time, wouldn't sell time, the top 40 station would. And what a great place. People who may not ever darken the door of a church who listen to that station, more than likely, will listen to our program and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But I can't tell you how many people criticized us for being on the top 40 station promoting Jesus. You would think they would be happy that the Word of God was going out and that we had the opportunity for the Word of God to go out. But not always the case. But you know what? Jesus had the same problems and he encountered the same thing, not from the people who were searching for him, but for supposedly the religious elite of his day. They wanted to put him down for the things he was doing. I want you to understand, sometimes it's out of jealousy because people will look at your life and they'll realize that there's a call on their life, but they're not willing to do what you're willing to step out in faith and do. And out of jealousy, out of a fleshly place, they'll put you down. They'll criticize you for being the light in the world, for letting Christ's light shine brightly. Sometimes it's out of jealousy. Sometimes it's out of feelings of complacency. Years ago at a church we pastored, there was a young man there who I had no doubt had a call in his life, either to be an evangelist, to be a pastor, to preach in some capacity. There was no doubt about that. But you know what? Every week it never would fail. He would come back with some sort of critique or criticism about the way we were doing things. And I finally said to him one day, "When are you going to surrender to this call on your life?" And he just sort of stood back. He says, "How did you know there was a call on my life?" I said, "It's very apparent what God's trying to do in your life." And basically his words were this to me: "I'm comfortable. I like the way things are going." He had a very good job, probably a six-figure income. He says, "My boss just gave me a promotion with a $30,000 increase. I don't want to give all that up to do what God's calling me to do." So for him, it was being complacent in this place of complacency. And he didn't like the fact that other people were willing to step out of that complacency and do the work God had called them to do. For other people, it may be self-doubt. They may feel that you have something special from God that they don't. But remember, God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. Yes, he may give them a different talent or a slightly different call or a slightly different way to go into the world and share his light and be his light. But guess what? If they're not doing what God's called them to do, and we're not doing what God's called us to do, then somewhere along the line, someone's not hearing the message that they need to hear. And understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot. So if you're doing the work God's called you to in the place that you are, and I'm doing the work God's called me to in the place that I am, then we know that his word is going out into all areas of life. But if we sit back with self-doubt, or we sit back in complacency, or maybe even sit back in jealousy of someone else's giftings, then it's not happening. The word of God's not going forward, and we're not being the light that we're called to be. So those are some of the reasons I think that oftentimes a lot of persecution comes right from the church. I heard someone say a long time ago, the church is one of the only places that beat up its own wounded. Sometimes we even beat up those that aren't wounded. We're beating up those who are doing what God called them to do, for doing what God called them to do. And sometimes we need to step back and think, okay, maybe they don't say it the way I'll say it or come out of the place that I would come out of taking the light of Christ, but they're doing the work. Let's bless them. Let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. Let's build them up in the faith so that they can do what God has called them to do. But understand this. You're not alone. Other people have faced what you face. But understand, ultimately, Jesus faced what you faced. And if you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 9, verses 32 through 38. Again, Matthew 9, 32 through 38. In Matthew 9, starting at verse 32, it reads like this, reading from the ESV. "And they were going away. Behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never has anything like this been done in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Father, today we're grateful for your word, and I pray that each of us will take away from your word today new application, new understanding of how to be your light in this world. Father, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering us. We pray this in Christ Jesus' strong name. Amen. There's some things that jump out at me here. Actually, there are many things, but I just want to narrow it to three things that jump out at me this morning about this scripture. First and foremost, Jesus knows who he is. And I'll say this about each one of us in this room today. We need to know firmly who we are in Christ Jesus. That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus. Jesus, if we look at this passage of scripture, and in your devotion time this week, I pray that you'll go back and look at all of Matthew chapter 9. But in chapter 9, we see that it's recorded that Jesus gives sight to two blind men, that he healed a woman who touched the hem of his garment, that he raised a dead girl to life, that he healed a paralytic. And now, Matthew, if all of this is in sequence in the same day, at the same time, Matthew's getting ready to, or is recording, a fifth mighty miracle that Jesus is doing. This mute man who's possessed by demons. He's unleashing the demons and the man's able to speak again. And so if indeed this is all happening in the same day at the same time, we just sort of wonder if maybe these Pharisees have been following Jesus all day long, and all throughout the day they've been building this case against Jesus, and now they're ready to speak. I mean, think about it. Raising a dead girl to life, I mean, that in itself is just amazing. But now seeing these demons come out and this man who can't speak, what do? They say, "Hey, he's doing this by Satan, by Satan's power." You know, the truth of the matter is, these were the religious folks of Jesus' day. They were the ones that should have had the authority and the power. They were the ones that should have been shepherding the people, and they weren't. They were doing anything but. In fact, they were probably making their living on the backs of the people, and that was not what God had called them to do. Jesus is coming from a whole different place. He's loving the people. He's freeing them. He's teaching with authority. He's operating in God's authority. And he firmly knows who he is in God. And it's important for us to firmly know who we are in Christ Jesus. If you're a blood-bought child of God, know your identity in him. Because here's the truth about you. When you know your identity in Christ, no matter what other Christians might say about you, no matter what other unredeemed people might say about you, you know what you're doing. You know what he's called you to do. You know what his word says about you and what you're supposed to be doing. And guess what? You'll continue to walk in that thing that he has called you to do. My encouragement to you is don't give up. Don't say, "Well, maybe they're right." Throw your hands up. Don't burn out. I have often joked with Sonia that ministry is one of those occupations, if you will, where I literally quit every week. That's not really the truth. But sometimes it feels that way. Not here, but in other places that I've served, it just feels like, man, every left and right is just coming at you with something. And it sort of beats you down over time if you take your eyes off of Christ Jesus. But if you keep firmly planted in Him and keep your focus on Him, it just becomes a little easier. I'm not saying that it's totally easy. It's still hard. But it does become somewhat easier because our joy, our purpose, our identity is in not ourselves, but in Christ Jesus. So know who you are in Christ Jesus. Seek His kingdom first and foremost. And watch how all this other stuff just comes into place the way it's supposed to. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep marching on for the high calling of the gospel. And that's what Jesus is doing here. I know in other places in Scripture, Jesus talks about a house divided against itself can't stand. But here in Mark's gospel, what does he do? He doesn't even make any comment to the Pharisees. What does he do? And this is my second point, is this. Jesus keeps going on. He keeps doing what he knows he's supposed to do. And in so doing, he shows compassion to the people. He continues to preach in their synagogues. He continues to heal with authority and be the light that he is. And it's the same for us. No matter how much we get beat up, either outside the church or inside the church, keep marching on for Christ Jesus. Know who you are in Him and keep moving forward and show His compassion. Here, in this particular instance, we see that His compassion is for the people. Matthew says in verse 36, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Now, if Matthew had a stop there, we'd have probably thought he was referring to the Roman occupation. But because he continues on, he says, like sheep without a shepherd. We understand what Matthew is talking about. These religious people who are beating up Jesus are also beating up the people. They're making rules for them to follow that's not in the Mosaic law. It's not in Torah. Man-made rules. They're judging the people unfairly. They're putting all kinds of tax on the people that God never even prescribed for the people to be under. You know, they're doing everything that God has told them not to do. And what does Jesus do? He's moved with compassion for the people because they don't have the shepherding that they should. And He's that for them. Of course, in wanting and desiring that, that's just another identification of who He is as the Messiah who had been prophesied long before. If we look at the greater picture of the gospel, we understand that Jesus has compassion on everyone who believes in Him. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that whosoever wasn't just the people who were oppressed, it was also for the religious people who would turn to Christ, the people who were doing the oppressing. Jesus had compassion for them too, if we look at the broader sense of Scripture. And I believe it's the same for us, and it's difficult to have compassion on someone who is not compassionate with you. That's tough. That's challenging. But as being Christ's light shining in this world, we have to. It's hard. It's difficult. I wish I could tell you there was an easy way to achieve that. But there's not. It just takes fortitude and discipline in Christ Jesus. It takes time praying for those people, loving those people in spite of themselves. And guess what? It's not easy, but it's what we're called to do nonetheless. It can be challenging, and I'm sure it was challenging for Jesus to continue pressing on, showing compassion regardless, even though He's having all this spoke against Him on all sides. He just keeps doing what He knows He's called to do. And my encouragement to each person in this room today is this: keep doing what you know Christ has called you to do. Keep the fervor. Keep shining His light brightly. Keep showing compassion, even to those that it's difficult to show compassion to. My final thought is this: Jesus, we see all throughout the Gospels, is praying, and He prays earnestly. And that's what He tells us to do in this particular passage of Scripture. He says in verse 38, "Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." And I think that Jesus is wanting us to participate, and I think it's sort of twofold here. One is that we are to pray. We are to pray that He sends, that the Lord of the harvest sends out workers into the field. But I think it's twofold in nature, in that while we're praying, we too are supposed to be going and doing. We take the good news. We take the light. We go out into the harvest field and work. But at the same time, we're praying for others to join us. We go. I think we even pray that we don't grow weary in well-doing, that we keep focused on Him, that we trust Him in the storm, knowing that He will, He has promised to carry us through, to keep going, keep doing what He's called us to do. So my challenge to you this morning is this: no matter what you're facing, no matter whether you're in a season where you're not experiencing much of people coming up and beating you up for being the light, or if you're in a season where you feel like you're really oppressed and pushed down, my encouragement to you is this: first, know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know who He's called you to be. If you're not sure, this word will tell you. It will show you. Get in this word and find out who you are in Christ. And then don't doubt. Just believe and trust that you are who God has called you to be. Second, show compassion. Show compassion even when it's difficult, even when it's to those people that don't show compassion in return. You might be the reason, you might be the catalyst that turns them toward the light. You may be the person through that persecution who turns them to a point where they have an eternal hope and an eternal future. You might be the difference. So show them compassion regardless. And pray. Pray earnestly. Not just for yourself, but for the harvest that God sends workers, yourself included, into the field, doing that which we are called to do. And understand this: any kind of persecution you might come across in this life, Jesus encountered first and foremost. Understand, ultimately, at the end of the day, people aren't beating you up for you. Sometimes it's just they don't like God. Sometimes they don't like the idea of church. It can be a lot of different reasons. But ultimately, their argument, their complaint isn't with you, it's with God. That's why it's hard. But God has told us to crucify the flesh. It's hard, but we pray for them, we show them love, we show them the light regardless, and we pray that He makes a harvest in their life.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.